Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, we are. All this post-Julio Jones trade kind of got me thinking because people were talking about, well, he gets injured and who knows how big of an impact it's going to be. I'm not going to mention Julio Jones, but here around the NFL, I want to go through some players who had either breakout or very impressive seasons last year, Wade, and I want you to tell me if it was a flash in the pan or not. But first, here around the NFL, Wade Smith joining me, Landry Locker will be back tomorrow. Figgy Fig is, of course, behind the glass. So Aaron Rodgers officially did not report to minicamp. And that's no big news, except meanwhile, Broncos quarterback Drew Lock, in his first OTA, first 11-11 in OTAs, apparently threw at least two interceptions when the media was allowed to watch in 11 and on 11 drills. Do you think that's much ado about nothing? Drew Lock throwing two picks and very limited. I think it was 18 or 20 snaps at the most through two picks. Or is he kind of feeling the heat of Aaron Rodgers breathing down his shoulder?
Yeah, I don't know if he's feeling the heat. It has anything to do with Aaron Rodgers.
Or just not like playing
that.
Well.
I just think Drew Lock is not that good of a quarterback. I know we have a kind of a skewed perspective of Drew Lock because of what he did to the Texans in that blowout. That was a ridiculous game that ended up with Bill O'Brien cussing out the fans or whatever. But you know, Drew Lock, he hasn't shown me that he can consistently play the quarterback position at a high level. So him throwing interceptions in practice doesn't surprise me. I don't think it has anything to do with Aaron Rodgers per se, because I know there's been rumblings and rumors that that's the deal that's going to be made. But, I mean, rumblings and rumors, if that was the case, then Deshaun Watson would be a Miami Dolphin by now or a New York Jet by now. There's a lot of trades that could have transpired by now. So who the hell knows as far as that? Drew Lock has to just be focusing on getting better each and every day, and right now it looks like he's struggling.
Not a good start, that's for sure. All right, so flash in the pan or not, from your perspective, and I'll throw mine out there as well. Which of these NFL players' big 2020 season was a fluke, basically? I'm going to go through a list. I think I got about eight players here. I started thinking about it after post-Julio Jones trade. So Josh Allen threw for 4,544 yards, 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Ooh. He was all about it. Is that what we're going to see more of, or was that a little flash in the pan?
Nah, he's not a flash in the pan at all. Now, will he replicate those numbers, those ridiculous numbers? That's going to be hard to do. But the fact of the matter is Stephon Diggs is not going anywhere. If he keeps his skill position players around him healthy, hopefully their running game can get a little bit better, and that might make his passing yards drop a little bit, but there'll be a better offense overall. But no, he's not a flash in the pan. He showed last year when he had the weapons around him and that he progressed as a player, that he can be an accurate passer. He made better decisions. I remember him being here against the Texans in the playoff game and making a bunch of really dumb decisions and trying to throw the game away. And eventually it cost him. He didn't make those bad choices last year. You saw 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. That's not a flash in the pan. I think Josh Allen is here to stay.
All right. In his first 30 appearances, Baker Mayfield threw 35 interceptions. Last year, just 8, and the Browns made a big run. Baker Mayfield, flash in the pan or not?
I don't think he's a flash in the pan just because the offense that he's in, it's going to keep him from making a ton of mistakes, because He has an excellent running game. And so that excellent running game is going to put him in favorable situations to throw the ball. I think Baker Mayfield is going to be one of those guys that we say it's kind of like the whole Ryan Tannehill effect. He's a product of the system. But as long as he's in the system, he's going to do fine. And so I don't think it's a flash in the pan. I think he's going to minimize his mistakes just like he did last year. And he's going to have a very similar season as he had last year because he still has a running game. He still has his receiving core returning. So I think Baker is definitely not a flash in the pan.
83 catches, 1,303 yards, 10 touchdowns, and don't you dare try to return a fumble all the way on him. DK Metcalf.
This is tough because
he disappeared some games.
He disappeared at the end of the season. He really struggled against Jalen Ramsey. So it's like, will he ball out against certain guys? Yes. But will he disappear against other guys? Yes. And it reminds me of Amari Cooper, where at some points he was disappearing while he was with the Raiders. When he went to Dallas, all of a sudden he started playing a little bit more consistently and better. But there's still times that he disappears. But I'm gonna say DK Metcalf is that last season and those stats he put up, that might be a flash in the pan. I think he might take a step back next year. But I think overall their offense could potentially be a little better. I like Lockett on the other side, so he's always going to do good numbers. And you know, I think they made some moves on their offensive line that's going to help them a little bit as well. Russell Wilson wanted those moves to be made, and they got made as far as at the guard position. So I'm going to say DK Metcalf is going to be somewhat of a flash in the pan.
This was the tough one for me, and I think I'm going to have to say flash in the pan. Will Fuller, now with Miami, what are your thoughts?
He doesn't have Deshaun Watson anymore.
Right.
So he's got Tua or – you know, who's Tua's backup now? It's
who
not
is
Ryan
Tua's
Fitzpatrick
because
he went to
not
Washington.
Anymore.
I don't know. So it's Tua.
Mm-hmm. Brissett.
Oh, Jacoby Brissett. So Tua is not going to give you the same accurate deep pass that Deshaun Watson did. So I think he is going to be a flash in the pan from that manner. I just hope the kid stays healthy, man. Can Will Fuller stay healthy for an entire season and not have any issues with any off the field stuff like, you know, PEDs or anything that's hamstrings, soft tissue stuff, tear, knee up, anything? Can he stay healthy for the entire season? Because if so, I think he'd be a very productive player. But will he put up the numbers that he did with Deshaun? They had a chemistry that was just like no other. And so I think he's going to be somewhat of a flash in the pan. He's not going to put up the numbers he did the last couple of years.
This one, if Justin Fields didn't show up, I would have called him a flash in the pan. But I'm not. First eight games, 3.7 yards per carry. Last eight games, 4.9 yards per carry. Running back David Montgomery from the Bears.
He's not going to be a flash in the pan because I think the Bears figured out how to use him correctly.
Yeah.
And I think they'll continue to do so going forward. He was a guy that you were always complaining about. Why does he not get more touches? And why are they using him in the way they're using him? I think they figured out kind of the secret sauce of how to utilize him. So I think he's going to be back and he's here to stay.
All right, this is another one where I would have to say flash in the pan, all due respect. He benefited from A.J. Brown. He is now a Jet. Corey Davis.
I think Corey Davis, he's going to be in the same type of an offense that he ran in Tennessee, so that's going to help him as far as getting acclimated. But what is Zach Wilson going to provide for
right.
him? Is Zach Wilson in year one going to be better than what Ryan Tannehill was in, I guess, what is it, like year 7 or 8 for Tannehill
like
now?
That, yeah.
So like, and so for that, in that regard, I'll say that he's going to take a little bit of a step back. And it wasn't like the season he had last year was just phenomenal. It wasn't like Corey Davis had, you know, 1,500 yards receiving and 15 touchdowns or something like that. So I think he's going to take somewhat of a step back, but he's still going to be able to be productive in a very similar offense that he's used to that he had in Tennessee.
No more Julio Jones in Atlanta. Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley's definitely not going to be a flash in the pan. His numbers are
going
to go up.
They're going
like
good.
His numbers are going to go up. His targets are going to go up. He's going to do big numbers. I like what he's going to – it's like I said, the offense they had in the past with Atlanta is going to be similar to what's being brought in with Arthur Smith and what they did in Tennessee. So he's going to be able to seamlessly transition into that. I expect to have a huge year out of Calvin Ridley.
Drafted, I believe he was a quarterback, now with the Washington football team. Huge year. Logan Thomas, tight end.
He's got Fitzy throwing him the ball. He's definitely not going to be. Oh, Fitzy. He's not going to be a flash in the pan because Fitzy's going to get him the rock.
Did you see Fitzy's tweet today?
Yeah, talking about he's nine teams and he started for 19
first day
for
of
17
school.
Years. No, I didn't see that.
He held up one of those little chalkboards.
Oh, I did see that.
And it said, this is my first day of school, 17th year.
Crazy.
My teacher is Mr. Rivera. my best friends are Corey and somebody else.
I didn't say Logan, though?
He might have said Logan.
Maybe, hopefully he said Logan, so I could be right about this. But no, I think that Logan Thomas is going to do big numbers with Ryan Fitzpatrick, so he's not going to be a flash in the pan.
All right, here is the big one, because there are any number of factors that you could say come into play. Flash in the pan last year, leading passer in the NFL, Deshaun Watson.
Okay, he wasn't a flash in the pan because he just progressively gotten better each year. A lot of these other guys, this was their first year actually being good quarterbacks or good players or having really productive years. I'm not going to say that about Deshaun Watson. Will his production be down from what it was last season? Of course it will. Because first of all, you don't know how many games he's going to play. You're probably, most likely, he's going to miss a significant amount of games. So there's no way he's going to be able to play and put up the numbers he did last year. And then also, he's going to have to figure out and learn a new system wherever he goes, if he goes somewhere. So he's for sure going to not do what he did last year. But I can't say he was a flash in the pan because he wasn't. He's Deshaun Watson.
He's
one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
All right, I got a question for you, unrelated to any of that. I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, Zach Greinke with the complete game. I know you saw that. But after the game, he was given the game ball. And in true form, I have a question for you on this, but in true form, Zach Greinke did Zach Greinke things.
Yeah, he gave me the game ball, so I got that in my bag.
Do you know what you're going to do with it yet?
I'll try to keep it, but 90%+ of the time, I'll end up losing it somewhere.
That's the most Zach Greinke thing ever. Yeah, I'll probably lose it. It's a really great gesture. I'll probably lose it. It got me to thinking, and I know you, with all the people you've met over the years and playing in the NFL, you've probably gotten some really cool memorabilia.
Yeah.
I've seen some of your things at your foundation and such. But is there something where, like, even as a kid or as a college player or whatever, that you got this really meant a lot to you, and all of a sudden you don't know where it is anymore?
Anything that has ever been given to me, I still have. It's still up on the wall. I got a Nolan Ryan autographed baseball.
Nice.
I got a lot of stuff that you would say, oh, this is awesome stuff. But the one thing memorabilia-wise that I don't have, that I really should have, that's unfortunate I don't, is the touchdown that I scored against the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, no.
I didn't keep the ball.
You ain't got that?
I don't got the ball.
Oh, man.
And this is the
what
crazy
happened?
Part. So this is what happened. So you scored a touchdown, you spiked the ball, you're all excited, and then
everybody's
it's like,
mobbing you.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's like, all right, I got to go on field goal team, and I got to go on field goal
point,
and do the extra point, right? And then I get to the sideline, and the game goes on, and the game ends. And I don't think about it until I get asked the question after the game. The media member goes, hey, so did you keep the ball from your touchdown? And I looked at him like, nah, like actually I didn't. Like I did not keep the ball. And, you know, one thing I tell myself all the time is like I can always go look it up and see the video or the footage of it, but I don't
That's
have
not
that
the
ball.
Ball.
It's not the ball. And I wish I would. I wish somebody would have done for me like somebody did for Zach Greinke, because Greinke said, hey, somebody brought me the ball.
Right.
I wish somebody would have brought me the ball, but I didn't even think about it. I was just excited to score a touchdown and getting mobbed by all the offensive linemen and listening to guys talking about how I'm going to get fined because I scored a touchdown, which I did, and I was happily
who
paid
cares?
That fine.
Yeah,
but,
who cares?
But, yeah,
that's probably
I did
Chris
not keep,
Myers.
I did not keep the football.
So, you know this. Figgy knows this. My absolute childhood hero, not even a close second, was Muhammad Ali. I used to stand in front of the mirror and, you know, try to do the shuffle and box. Like, I got into boxing because of Muhammad Ali. Watched every, even before I could watch his fights, mm-hmm. I listened to him on the radio, because you used to have to go to a theater back in the day to watch a fight. It wasn't any, you know, pay-per-view. You would have to go to a theater. We didn't. I'd be staring at the radio, listening to all of his fights. Excuse me. So and I've interviewed him. I've interviewed him multiple times before he died, probably 3 or 4 times, talked to him, etc. But at the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta, you remember he lit the torch and his arm was shaking, and it's one of the most iconic moments ever. So I was out there covering that moment at the Olympics for the Chronicle. I get into the elevator by myself because it was down on the basement.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I hear, hold the door. And I put my hand there, and a security guard walks in, and Muhammad Ali.
Wow.
And one other person. His other people were already upstairs where we were going to do the – actually, I interviewed him that night where we were going to do the interviews after the torch lighting. So I was standing next to Muhammad, and me being just a kid again, I said, "What's up, champ?" And he kind of mumbled a couple of words. And I had the – in my shirt pocket right here, I had the opening ceremony's ticket to get in there. In that pocket, I also had a pen.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, and I looked at the ticket, and then I saw my media badge, and I'm like, dang it. I because I was in the media, you don't ask for autographs, you know, all that stuff, if you're worth your salt. I know they do a lot now, but.
Right.
And so I looked at him, and we chatted. I mean, as best I could. You know, he was still talking then just a little bit. And we chatted it up and everything else, and I reached for my ticket, and then I just tucked it back in. I was like, I can't do it. I can't not get the champ's autograph. To the day I die, I'm going to regret that I didn't break that one unwritten media rule, don't ask for autographs.
There's got to be an exception for the champ. There's got to be an exception for the greatest of all time.
Yeah, for certain people, you got to break that rule.
I understand you being a journalist and all, but come on now.
I know. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm lamenting the fact, and I will until the day I die, that I didn't do that. But oh well, I got to meet him several times and talk to him. Hey, fans vote with their wallets. We've talked about that a couple of times. We have somebody on the line who I think might have an opinion on that, so we're going to get to that. But we've talked about how fans, there's an astounding trend when it comes to the Texans' popularity and will the Texans listen. I'm wondering, are players out as well? We'll talk about that next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
So, I was talking to you earlier, Wade. You're hearing the same things I am. It's all over the text board. Some, obviously, on both sides. But it was very enlightening. All the people, and it started with Jerome Solomon's column. Got to give him credit about how he was so far down on the wait list. What did I say, 7,800 or something like that on the wait list, and all of a sudden they're asking him if he wants to buy season tickets. We heard stories about three-game packages getting called out of the blue, and John McClain, for the first time ever that I can ever remember, said, oh, yeah, they're going to have at least a game where they don't sell out. And the question becomes, you know, how – are they listening, and how will it affect the Houston Texans? A lot of it has to do with Deshaun Watson. A lot of it has to do with Jack Easterby, let's just be honest, him still being here. Some of it may have to do with Cal McNair. But a lot of people are out on the Texans, and they've never have been before. It's usually just been bluster and a lot of empty words, but people are out. I'm going to be interested to hear what you think about how players are reacting to that, with more and more people alienated from the Texans, and how long it will last, et cetera. But let's go to Larry in Stafford, who I know has an opinion on this. Larry, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Thanks for letting me get in. And I'm going to get on the tickets right after I make this comment. You know, as a fan, you know, we have these things that we look forward to. Now, Sean Pendergast last week was out at the Texans OTA, and he came back, and I think it was on y'all's show when he jumped in, and he said, man, it just felt different.
Yes.
J.J. Watt wasn't there. DeAndre wasn't there. Deshaun wasn't there. And he said it felt different. And so then after I listened to that, I was like, oh, man. So then Clint was on, and somebody called in, and they asked Clint about, you know, his thoughts and about Davis Mills and all this other stuff and Tyrod Taylor. And Clint was like, you know, Tyrod doesn't have that arm to do what Deshaun Watson does, and he missed a couple of throws that we know Deshaun would have made and all this. And so I'm sitting there listening to all this, and I'm putting this together as a Texan fan, and I'm thinking, why in the hell would I want to subject myself to that kind of mess if these two dudes are giving me their opinion of what they're seeing and the Texans aren't telling us anything? You know it's going to be bad. Now, Jerome Solomon's column is about what we've been talking about for a long time. If he was 12,000 and he went from 12,000 to number one in the offseason, I had not figured out why Cal McNair and those people over there allowed that to happen. Because Jamie Root's leaving, J.J. leaving, they had all these things turned over. And I would call in daily talking about why they wouldn't do something to try to get the fans motivated to come back. Everybody's been wondering about my season tickets, and I don't know why, because I guess they just think that I'm irrational and I don't have the ability to make sound decisions or not. But I have my season tickets, right, J-Lo?
Yep.
And I don't want to get rid of my season tickets, but I know I'm not going to go over there and support them physically in my body. So more than likely, I'm going to give my season tickets to the Boys and Girls Club. I may give it to somebody that I see in Walmart just as a gift or something, because there's nothing on this earth that has convinced me that the Texans are doing something that's going to get us to a Super Bowl this year, next year, or the year after that. So now you're telling me as a 20-year person that I got to wait 3 more years to be able to just be able to be happy about my team again? No, I can't do it. So I understand people that have PSLs and they can't get rid of them. I understand people that are getting tickets now. But as a diehard Texan fan, my disappointment in the Texans is still at a height that will not come down until I figure out exactly how I can ever go back over there and look that organization in the face. Because I've been convinced that Cal McNair, Janice McNair, Nick Caserio, and none of those dudes over there give a damn about us, because they don't have a connection to us. And, Smitty, you said something earlier today. You said that you have hope because Nick Caserio is a normal general manager and he's doing normal general manager things. No, he's not. Nick Caserio is the only reason that he has any kind of viability is the fact that he has the greatest head coach in football, Belichick, and the greatest quarterback in football, Tom Brady. Nick Caserio has not done what it takes to be a winner over there on Kirby, and I know he just got over there. But if his ass hadn't put up bunk beds in Deshaun Watson house and convinced him how to stay there, he's going to be a failure. And if you're banking on Davis Mills, Tyrod Taylor, and Jeff Driscoll, your ass better wake up and find some coffee in our house.
All right. Listen, Wade, he's not just speaking for Larry and Stafford, and he often has it, but I think more now than ever, he's speaking for a lot of fans, man. You're hearing the same things I am.
Yeah, there is a sentiment in this city, no question about it, that they're out on the Texans, and it's understandable. Now, I will take a little issue with Larry's comment about him not being a normal general manager.
No, he's not. I just like the way he said it.
It was funny. No question, it was funny. But normal general managers get into the building, and they find people with bad contracts, and they fix them. And they either get rid of those guys or they restructure them. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
The old general manager, what they did was they gave money to people they shouldn't have gave them to, traded people away, and all those things that were done in the past by a non-normal general manager, those things have changed. The way that he's operating is very similar to what Brian Gain did as a general manager. Guys that were normal, Rick Smith, those things are normal. Now, you might say, oh, well, signing David Culley is the head coach, that's an abnormal signing.
Yeah,
it's abnormal in most cases. In this case, it's not abnormal to me, because who wanted this job and who was going to do this job in the manner and bring the type of vibe in the room
and say
that
yes.
They wanted and say like, hey.
I mean, all due respect, we know what he is.
No, listen.
I'd have taken it.
People will talk about like Eric Bieniemy and some of these other candidates and the Staleys and all these guys that were hot commodities that either interviewed and weren't followed up on or didn't get interviews at all, the Robert Salas and all that type of stuff. People have to you have to have someone, the feeling has to be mutual for you to have a hire. And so to me, Cully makes sense of why he hired him. Now, is it going to work? I don't expect it to work at all, but I understand the sentiment behind it. He's making moves that logically make sense. For 2 years, there was a lot of moves that were made that I said, this don't make no damn sense.
Right.
People would ask me, I'm like, I can't explain that because it doesn't make any sense. It's not a reasonable thing to do. It strikes up a lot of emotion and ego and all those type of things, and he doesn't strike me as that type of guy. And the moves that he's making doesn't strike me as ego type of moves. And so from that regard, he's operating like a normal general manager.
713-572-4610. Your thoughts on, are you out? Are you going to hang in there and voting with your wallet? Now, we talked about fans and others, but I mean, Wade, you're in the fraternity. And when we come back, I want to ask you about that fraternity, the NFL fraternity. And we're going to hear from one who also is out on the Texans. And will the Texans listen? Will they move on from Jack Easterby or make a drastic change? Also going to hear from the luckiest guy in the building, and his name is not David Culley.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Matt takes the snap, handoff Tate, running right, and he slips through and fumbles the ball in the end zone, and it's recovered by Wade Smith. It's a Houston touchdown. The Texans score. Tate lost a hogskin going for the goal line as he broke tackles, and Wade Smith got all over the rock in the end zone.
Yeah, but he didn't hold on to it.
Vandy is so good, man.
He's so good.
I had never heard that call before because every time I saw it, I saw it on like NFL. NFL.com.
I had to dig for
so
this
I
one,
had
man.
The, I had the TV copy of the call. But that was,
oh, well, we got to send you that.
I need to send me a link of that, man.
I got
Vandy's
you.
So damn good, man.
That's good.
Yeah, I didn't hold on to the ball, man.
If you weren't listening, only touchdown of his NFL career and didn't keep the ball.
Did not.
That stinks. All right. You vote with your wallet. We're going to hear from a player who's a very prominent player, and I want to get Wade's thoughts on if players, how are they reacting to being, quote, or are they out on the Texans? Let's go to Kevin first. Kevin, you're on In the Loop with Wade and John.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Good. I just wanted to say I've been following the Texans since I was 10 years old. and I've never felt as down about them as I have this season. I mean, even when I knew we weren't good, you know, like, I mean, you know, in your heart, you're not going to be a contending team. It was still exciting because you had players to watch that maybe could have a breakout season. You know, Jacoby Jones, oh, he might be able to do something. You know, Ben Tate's looking really good. You know, Arian Foster coming out of nowhere. Like, all these players that I can look back and say, man, this was really exciting. And even though we might only win 10 games or 6 games, it was fun to watch every week because you never knew what you would get out of them. You know what I mean? And this year, I mean, who do we have to look forward to? What are we looking at on the roster to go like, hey, you know, this guy could really be a dog. This guy could really do something for us, you know. And I mean, I don't have a head coach to look at to go like, man, this guy gets me excited. He's, you know, trending and all this stuff and upward mobility, everything like that. Or the GM gets me excited. I mean, nothing. We're losing our best player, who's an MVP candidate. And you know, it's like losing Jordan. It's like being a Bulls fan. Imagine if Jordan wants a trade, you know, 4 years in. Mm-hmm. And with that, I'll let you guys go. You'll have a good day.
Appreciate it.
Now, he makes some great points there, and it's an interesting dynamic that you're having to kind of work through. Is you have a regime, you have a GM in Nick Caseri that comes from a place where accessibility to players is kept down to a minimum. It's mm-hmm. just basically only as needed. The mandatory stuff to do, that's the things that they really promote. And like the caller said, like, hey, I'm trying to figure out who can I get excited about, who are the people that I want to try to see, you know, that can have a breakout season. And we don't know much about these guys. There's so many new faces, and they're not really getting opportunities to learn about these guys. Yeah. These guys are not in front of them.
McClain said as much, too.
Yeah, and that's what you talked about earlier with McClain. And so it's going to be tough for you to say this is the guy to get excited about. And now, you know, the Texans have – I think a guy that you can get excited about is Philip Lindsay. Philip Lindsay is a guy that was very, very productive with the Denver Broncos. He had an injury that set him back in one of his seasons, but – he's been a guy that you could say, you know, this guy, I think he can do some things here with Houston, and I think the Texans would want to move forward with him if he can come back and regain his
form. There's going to be a lot of those stories pop up.
Right.
My feeling is I think, you know, and that happens every year where people say, oh, I'm out on the Texans, but they're really not. I think a lot of people –
they're wait and see.
But a lot of people really are now, because it doesn't have to do with like an Arian Foster or Philip Lindsay, you know, showing you something. It has to do with – how the hell did we lose? How the hell did we screw up Deshaun Watson? And the guy that in part did that is still here. So I think that's why it's such an issue. Let's go to Brett. Brett, you're on In the Loop with Wade and John.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Good.
Hey, inaugural season ticket holder, and wanted to say that, you know, we've had tickets since the beginning. We followed them faithfully, you know, tailgating the whole experience. And then we also – you know, went on travel games, right? We went to the game, infamous game in Phoenix, where they kind of lost it in the last drive and so forth. So we've been there the whole time, but we decided this year we were done, right? And a lot of that was driven, of course, by the, you know, the personnel decisions, you know, the fact that they didn't seem to have any kind of coherent strategy on getting better. And, you know, that's a big investment when you invest in the PSLs and the tickets every year. And we didn't see a path forward. Because you know, first off, you're not going to get your money back on the preseason games at all. But when you certainly are trying to sell next few years, right? I mean, yeah, you're going to have to basically give these away. So, like your earlier caller said, you know, he's talking about giving his tickets away to Boys and Girls Club. I think there's going to be a lot of that this year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, and it already has been one of the biggest of visiting crowds of any NFL stadium I've seen. I think a lot of that has had to do with just the recent, even though they were successful in terms of wins and losses 2 years ago, fans just are selling their tickets because they're not invested.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a wait and see approach. And there's going to be, I mean, the chances of it working more times than not, it's not going to work. Like, it's not just some guarantee because you get a new general manager, it's going to work, or because you get a new coach, it's going to work. More times than not, teams are not successful to the highest of levels. There's only a certain amount of teams that have won Super Bowls in the NFL. But one thing that you can base your decision-making on of should I do this or should I not is, are they operating in a manner that makes sense and I can see a path forward? And when the fans are saying I can't see a path forward, that's a problem. Like, that's an inherent problem. Like, I can't see a path of how we can get back to any sort of prominence mm-hmm. when we haven't even gotten over the mountaintop to begin with. Like, how are we going to get there? That's a problem that the organization has to figure out how to get the fans more engaged and more involved and wanting to support the franchise again. And you mentioned it before, the lack of accountability in certain people that are in the building still, that's a big issue for a lot of fans. So they have to figure out how to rectify that. I do know one thing, though, winning cures everything. Now, if you look at the schedule, you look at the roster right now, you're not expecting them to winning very many games, if any at all, this year. And so that whole winning cures everything thing is going to be delayed.
Right.
Now, the quicker that they can figure out a way to win ball games, the quicker I think people will be willing to come back. The quicker they can see some results from some of the people that Nick Caserio has brought in, the quicker you're going to see people say, all right, maybe he knows what he's doing here, and let's go ahead and get, because it is the hometown team, and people love the Texans. They love the players from the Texans, but a lot of the players that they loved are no longer here, or they got sent away.
Yeah.
And they got sent away for bad reasons.
By a guy that still is here.
Right.
And so
that causes them to have some trepidation of trying to support them with their dollars. And it's completely understandable.
Look, and fans are extremely important, maybe the most important for an organization to be successful. But it's one thing for fans to be out. It's quite another, and you are in the fraternity, Wade, but it's quite another for players, including Hall of Fame players, to be out as well.
I think, you know, just looking at the situation, you know, I've been around the organization for a long time, and, you know, I worked there last season, and just, you know, it's just certain things you see, and, you know, being able to be on that side of it, it's just certain things you see that you know that's not right.
Look, you don't have to tell names. I wouldn't expect you to, but you talk to players, current and former, a lot of your former teammates. Andre didn't seem like he was speaking for just himself right there.
Well, you got to understand this now. Andre Johnson is the most important player to play for this franchise since its inception. Like, he's been the teammate of probably 85% of the people that have ever been
from
on the 03.
Roster.
From 03 to 2000, I believe it was 14 was his last year, or maybe 15, one of those. I think it might have been 15. But for 12, 13 years, he was on the roster. And so a lot of the guys that are former players, they were teammates of Andre Johnson. Mm-hmm. And Dre worked in-house, like in the front office of the franchise. And if he's saying it's rotten, guys are going to take that at his word, because Andre has never been a dude that has been anything but straight up. He's never been anything but a good teammate, good person overall. And so if he's saying something here is not right, then that's going to cause you to take a step back and be like, what's going on? There was times that early on when a lot of the shenanigans were going on, and it was around that time when Deshaun was first coming out saying he wanted out, and when Dre made his comments, you should stand your ground, and then he came out and talked about, you know, he made the tweet about Jack Easterby.
Yeah.
It was hard to put the colors on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough deal. That's a tough deal.
That's a great point.
It's hard to put the colors on, because it's like you want to be a part of something that you understand the reasoning and why they're doing certain things. And if they're doing things that are completely against everything that you stood for and you bled for and you tried to build yourself, that's going to cause you to take a step back and say, I mean, what the hell is going on over here? So the buy-in and the amount of players that are participating, former players that are participating in things, has dropped, and it's been significant. And so they're trying to do things to kind of bridge that gap again, and which they need to do and which they're doing.
Right.
And so I think guys will come back, because guys love this city. Guys love the team. They just, you know, you can't – there's certain things that you can and cannot control in life.
But they know what's going on.
And they know the things that are going on behind the scenes, and they've seen how things have gone and what it's led to on the field, the production on the field. Because at the end of the day, that's really all the players and the former players they care about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, are you giving the guys on the team now a chance to win? If you're giving them a chance to win, then you will be supported. If you're doing things that are completely counterproductive and don't make any sense, guys are going to have a problem with that. And so I think that's what you've seen. And it's, like I said, it's understandable for fans to have that sentiment. I completely understand. At the same time, the same fans that are out on the Texans, they're out on the Texans until they show something differently.
Yeah.
I think that they will come back, because at the end of the day, it's the city's team. Everybody understands that the McNairs own the team, but it's the city's team.
And
the city is going to support the franchise As soon as some of them are going to support the franchise regardless, but and some other ones are going to not support the franchise because they love the franchise.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's something to be said for that.
It's wild times, man. I never thought in this city after losing the Oilers that people would be out on them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Let's see what Gary, in or out, what are your thoughts?
Hey, I've never been a season ticket holder, but I've made a point to go to 2 to 3 games per year, even away games. And frankly, starting last year, it was the first year I didn't go. This year, I don't even plan on watching them on television. It's the worst I've ever felt about this team. And I'm not one of those crazy fans who thought we were always going to win the Super Bowl. I feel like maybe 2 or 3 years we had a chance, but I just really enjoy watching the team, having a team in Houston. And basically, they're dead to me. We can fire whoever we want to fire, but I feel like ownership is the issue, and those issues last a long time. So that's just kind of where I'm at. I will be going to brunch with my wife on Sunday, like she always wants me to. So,
well, there you go. Happy wife, man.
she'll like that.
Yeah.
Did he already, is he off?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to ask him, like, is he going to watch NFL period, or is he just – is he out on the Texans?
He said he's not even going to watch them on TV, so I'm guessing the Texans. Yes.
Like I said, the Texans are going to have to do things and show a brand of football that people are going to get excited about in order to get some of the ones that have kind of turned away to come back into the fold. And people want a team that they feel like they can support, and they know that you got to think about it. A lot of these new players that come in here, they didn't have anything to do with the situation is going on right now and the predicament that the organization is in. The players that came in have nothing to do with that. But if you allow guys like Mark Ingram to let his personality show out and him be front and center in front of fans and things of that nature, Mark Ingram is a very personable dude that people like.
Yeah.
And so you gotta let the fans tap into those people that are on the roster so that they can have something to cheer for them and say, we're going to cheer for these guys. And despite some of the people that are in the front office, or despite the ownership, we're going to cheer for these guys because we really love these guys. And if that happens, I think you can get some people back in the fold. But overall,
yeah,
like from the text line, from Twitter,
it's
from
crazy,
the phone
man.
Calls,
it's wild.
You can tell that it's rough, and
it's real this time.
It's real. And you asked me earlier, do you think that McNair's are feeling this? They gotta feel it. Yeah. I mean, they gotta be feeling it. And so, what can they do to change it? I think the main thing that you can do is to win ball games. And the quicker you can win ball games, the quicker you can change. As far as making a decision to let go of a Jack Easterby or something like that, it's not a realistic ask. And mm-hmm. I don't think that necessarily would change the minds.
I think it would help.
Of people. I don't know.
I really do.
I mean, that'd be a question to ask. Like if they let go of him today, would you be back in as a fan base? I don't know about that.
Because I feel like they're treating the symptoms, not the cause, with this organization. They're putting a Band-Aid on a cut, but not realizing, or a rash, but not really taking care of the rash. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, and it's just tough to try to figure out, like. There's people that we're talking about earlier today. They were upset at Aaron Rodgers because he's a diva and he's trying to run the team. He's not the owner of the mm-hmm. team. The owner runs the team, all right? But there's nobody really to legislate ownership and upper management bad decisions. You can players they get held accountable. If you don't play good, you get kicked out. You're gone. You get cut. And
right,
so
right.
That's the world you live in. In this situation, yay, the ownership is going to be the ownership. And the quickest way for fans to get back in and say, despite the ownership or despite the decisions they made, is for them to win and for them to get kind of enamored with the players. That's the quickest way, I think, to get back to that point. They got to let them, they got to give them access and allow that part to shine through, because that's the quickest way. And I think the signing of David Culley, I think David Culley mm-hmm. is a likable guy.
Yeah.
You had to bring a likable guy in. Like, you can't be mad at David Culley.
It's hard to be mad at David Culley.
You can't be mad at David Culley. I think that's part, and to me, that's part of the reason why the things that Nick Caserio is doing make sense to me.
Sure.
When you're in a position where the feeling in the building is, it is such a negative place, you got to bring somebody that is the opposite of that into the building to try to bring in some light. And to me, that's what David Culley represents.
Whose birthday is it? Whose birthday is it? Tony, you're on In the Loop.
And you know it's mine. Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to thank everybody who did not want to get their season tickets this year. Thank you, thank you, thank you, because that put me at the top of the list. You know what? And what you say? My wallet.
You vote with your wallet.
I voted with my wallet. And you know what? All these people talking about they don't know what's going to happen this year, and I'm uncertain and all that. So was you certain in 2002 when you went and bought the season tickets? You didn't know what the hell this team was going to be or any of that. So it's just the same thing. You know what? Let me tell you something. I've been married twice. Okay. First time, wasn't so good. Second time, excellent. I'm going for excellent this time.
Right.
It didn't work out the first time. I'm going for excellent this time. And you know what? I'm in on it. So because Tony is in on it, it's going to be about something. And I'm going to let you know that straight up today on my birthday. Go Texas.
All right. That's Tony. And happy birthday to Tony. Thanks for the lovely gifts. And, yeah, I mean, I think it was also so fresh in 2002. But it's still something that you don't know how they're going to do. And it's just, people are just tired of waiting. We have, Clinton's show coming up next, but, I wanted to make sure and thank Figgy for doing all the heavy lifting with all that audio today. And obviously Wade, it's always so easy and so great, to do the show with you, man. So I appreciate you hopping in.
It's always real, fellas.
There it is. I was waiting for it yesterday and I didn't get it. Unless I missed it.
You got to throw the hoop.
You got to throw the alley-oop up there.
I'm just going to wait for the pass like Porzingis in the corner.
That's on me, man. I fumbled that one. All right, guys. Great. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to John McClain for joining us. And, of course, as I mentioned, Figgy Fig doing his thing that he do. Tony for the great gifts. And, of course, you. If you listen, you are a loophole. For Figgy Fig, for Wade Smith, for John McClain, I'm John Lopez. Lock Dog gonna be back tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. And just like a moment, you were too shy, but you weren't the only cause, so was I. And I dreamed of you ever since. Thank you, Figgy. Now
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.